We turned it off.
Trying to let you know what we're up to.
Now they can see.
Put that, can you put that on mute?
What?
Can you put that on mute? Mute it, just mute it. Why are we getting feedback? Is that better? Hello? Testing? Are you getting feedback? Yeah, that's not muted.
No, it's you that's not muted. The speakers need to be off.
Right.
Good?
Okay. Testing. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, all right.
Technically ready? Yes. Okay, we're good to go. We have a quorum and I'll call the meeting to order. I believe it's about 1:05, so almost.
This conference will now be recorded.
Before we get into the fiscal year 2023 budget public hearing, I'm more than delighted to introduce onto our team Harmony Lloyd, our new Chief Operating Officer. Welcome, Harmony. It's great to have you with us. And Corey Wolfram, who Corey has been with us for 6 weeks now. 6 weeks, but we didn't have a meeting last month. So welcome to your first meeting.
Thank you.
Ben will be doing a more of an introduction and then experience and background with district work. Oh, okay. But anyway, it's great to have you aboard. The first item is the public hearing on our 2023 budget. As you'll recall, we reviewed the proposed work plan and budget at our July meeting. It has been posted, and now is the opportunity to welcome public comment on the budget as required. I'm not sure how we do this.
So we can do it just, we have to set, 3 minutes for public comment. So the public hearing is officially open, so we have to have that time. 3 minutes for public comment, and then we can just do it this standard way. So, whoever has comments, who's attending virtually, if they want to put in the chat if they have comments,
okay.
That would be easier for us, but we'll do a couple of calls for comments. And then we'll close the public hearing, move to the agenda, and that's when we'll do the board comments and kind of official action on the budget. So this is just to hear if there's any public comments in the official public.
Great. Do you want to do any introduction on the budget itself before we ask for comments?
Sure. Thanks, Paul. So I'll do a brief introduction on the. Let's see if that's better. All right, I'll do a brief introduction on the budget.
Are they too close?
I'll try again. I think I had everything else going on. All right. So the budget is in the context of. Okay, this is. Okay, it's a little bit better. All right. So what we have in front of the public today is the fiscal year 2023 budget, and that is in the context of a five-year budget and business plan for the agency. So this is a different approach than we've taken before. Typically, we've done annual budgets, so we just kind of have the information for what's happening in the upcoming fiscal year. This has that information along with additional information for the next several years to just kind of see where we're at and what we're projecting to do going forward. We are beginning the year with administrative revenues around $7.8 million and administrative expenses of about $2.4 million. The bulk of that funding comes from a federal American Rescue Plan grant. We also have state appropriations that we negotiate on an annual basis. So we have an additional $400,000 state appropriation in fiscal year 2023. That American Rescue Plan funding will last us, as it is planned, the next several years. We are projecting deficits without other financial intervention starting to hit in fiscal year 2026. And this is all information we've talked about before. And we do feel it's important to put that information out there. It does not impact our budget this year. I'll also announce, we just got the paperwork yesterday that included an additional $226,000 in a fiscal year 2024 appropriation. So that isn't reflected because I literally just got the paperwork yesterday. And we didn't ask for it. But we'll take it. Yeah. So I will again, that doesn't impact this fiscal year, but that will be added. I will probably do like a mid-year budget update and make sure those numbers are reflected. But just another little bit of good news. Along with our administrative budget, we do have a project budget, and that project budget ties directly to the work plan that's in the business plan. So that includes all the grant funding that we have available to do work items over the next year and then into the next 4 years. The big note there, most of these are one for one. So we have a grant, we do a project that's about that same amount. The two big notes here is we've separated out the D2A2 express bus expenses and revenues. So they're on their own line item in the business plan and budget, own line items. So you can see those separately and the funding that supports that service. We also put in the American Rescue Plan regional set aside of $25 million. We put it in this year's project budget. When we determine how we actually want to program those funds, which is something we'll talk about over the next several months, you can imagine those funds are actually going to be spread out over several years. We just don't have that program completely sorted out yet. We talked about it in July, and we'll be talking about it again in October. Those are really the two major items with the administrative budget and project budget.
Yep.
So, Paige,
go ahead. Please use the microphone for report.
And also, please state your name for the court report. Can you guys hear me? Can you speak to the mic?
Yeah, you got it.
How about that?
Yes.
Yes, I just wondered, the two more items I just mentioned, the D2A2 split.
Yep. Page 32 of your packet.
Okay.
Yep. Is the work plan and the project budget.
And Dr. Gary Parks.
Erica, having asked a question, are there any other questions of Ben before we go to our public comment?
And we will have the official board item will be after this. This is just,
yeah.
Any
questions? If not, Robert, did you wish to speak to the budget? Welcome.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Robert Plowski, and I'm from Southgate, Wayne County. For some of our new members, for some of you that don't know me, I'm a transit advocate, and I work closely with Transportation Riders United for Wayne County and some parts of Washtenaw County, gathering information. So I want to take a minute to talk about the budget, and the one thing that really sticks out is the regional transit plan. So the amount of partnership with AAATA and their 2045 plan, the question I have is, where will we be able to have our say with their plan? Because they want to go from different counties with regional express routes. So their park and ride lots are going to be expanded into Livingston County, southern portions of Washtenaw, which will be Milan, some parts in western Washtenaw, but also connections into Wayne County. Now, I know this is something that's focused on them, but I want to know, has there been any communication with their plan and integrating some of this plan with them to making sure it meets the needs with this plan currently? But other than that, you know, we did so much public engagement on this plan. You know, we kind of got the feedback from the riders and the people that are involved in public transit. That's what we need. And just going through this budget in July, I was very impressed with all the work and, you know, the people that put the effort into doing this, especially, you know, factoring in the master plan. The master plan really had my main focus is because we're expanding connections throughout the region, but we're also focusing on expanding connections throughout Wayne County. And that's kind of my focus right now. But, you know, thank you for everything that you've done on the budget, and I look forward to seeing this vote yes on this issue. But as always, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Ben, I'd suggest you answer Robert's question before we go on.
Thanks, Robert, as always. We participated in the development of the AAATA plan, both formally as part of their stakeholder committee and then informally meeting with their consultants and staff. I'm going to be meeting again with AAATA next week to talk about not only the plan, but what is happening in the slightly shorter term with their new village that they want in August. So I have a meeting with them next week to start kind of cobbling together where are projects that we should be working on together, how's IT2A2, ERT projects, where they're what role do we play now that we're actually talking about implementing something that's a big chunk of their plan. So hopefully that's helpful.
Ned, do you have any perspective on what's going on with the planning process in Ann Arbor?
You're looking at me, but I'll let you want to go first. Wisdom before height.
Well, a little wisdom here. Millage does not take immediate effect in Washtenaw, in Ann Arbor, with AAATA. It will be phased in over the next 2 years, so they're in a good planning session. And then they will expedite, not the full plan, but you know, they will phase it in a deliberate manner, intentional. Discussions will be ongoing with the community as those plans are finalized going forward. Then
the only thing I would add to that is that when Matt Carpenter was here before the millage passed and gave us the outline of it, you know, our questions to him were the same questions we're asking outside of these meetings, which is how is this going to play with what we're doing? Is there money in here for anything that's regional? The answer is not really. But we're going to continue to press him on that. And I've been talking to a lot of political leaders in Washington County that are very supportive of regional efforts. And we want to make sure that AAATA is also thinking that way. So we'll keep working.
Thank you. Okay. Sean, are you tracking Jack's request?
Paul Hill again.
Yes, Paul Hill again, Mr. Chair. Do we have requests virtually to contribute to the hearing?
I don't see any.
No requests. Well, I believe in part it reflects just a terrific plan and a well-projected budget, not only for the coming year, but years ahead. Thank you, Ben. Jenny and all who contributed. Alma, the committee, you as treasurer had a role, the former committee. Thank you. So I will officially close the hearing and we will move on. But before approving the agenda, because we're in person now, We don't normally do the roll call, but I would ask, for the sake of harmony and Corey, every board member to introduce themselves and where you're from and if anything you want to say about why you're on the board. I'm Scott Freeman.
Jeremy Hendricks, I'm from other than the city of Detroit. And anytime I can work with Paul Hilligan. I know we got to get things done. But seriously, I've always been the advocate for public transportation. And something that's always front and center, particularly for our buyers in the city of Detroit. And I'm happy to be here to represent them and on their behalf. Welcome to the transportation.
And I'm Ned Stabler. Technically, I represent Washtenaw County, but really, I just work for Freeman. But we're also really excited to have you welcome aboard. We've got a lot of work to do in the next few years moving this forward, and we're really excited you're to come on this journey with us.
Don Hornady, from Macomb County. In my previous life, I was involved with economic development in Macomb County. We see public transportation and the ability to move people and workers as an important key component to the success of any economic development.
I'm John Moore, city manager in Richmond, which is in northern Macomb County. I was asked to serve on this committee, and I'm just under a year, so relatively new, but from along with Don.
Good afternoon, Jude Lee. I'm a representative of Wayne County. I've been in both county and city government for a number of years. My current day job is working for the Wayne County Airport Authority, which operates Detroit Metro and Illinois airports. I believe in transit. I care about the system as a whole, providing for the needs of all of our people. So to the extent that we can do everything we can to take the limited resources that we have to provide the best value. That's what I'm doing. So thank you.
Can we ask everybody to speak clearly into the microphone, please?
And speak up.
You have to like get really close. Sorry. My upgrades.
Go ahead. All right, how's this? Khalil?
Yes.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Dr. Erica Robertson here. I am from the city of Detroit, but I represent Wayne County on the board. And this work for me is about social justice, access, and equity for our riders in our communities. And I have to say that I'm excited to sit next to Alma, who I interned for in 1999, just being part of the conversation and trying to figure out how we literally move our people forward and beyond the boundaries that currently exists for them. So super excited. It was great to meet you, Corey, and hear a little bit about you and what you want to do with the board. Looking forward to learning more about you, Carmen.
I'm Alma Wheeler-Smith. I've been on the board for all but 1 year of its existence. I represent Washtenaw County and share that responsibility with Ned. It is my delight, actually, to be able to work on regional transit that moves people from Washtenaw County to Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. It gives some great job opportunities. I won't say it gives some great health opportunities because nothing's better than the U of M hospital system. As Erica pointed out, this is an opportunity for social justice as we give people the chance to move around this community and the larger Southeast Michigan segment of our population and actually discover that we can work together.
Pass the microphone along. I'm Jeanette Bradshaw, and I represent Oakland County, one of our two. I am new to the board. I was appointed in April, actually on April Fool's Day. No, it was actually, but I'm a licensed electrician for over 21 years, but I've been in the labor movement for 21 years. Being on this board, I want to make sure not only are we respecting our riders who are also could be labor, you know, in the labor force, but we also are respectful for the communities that they serve. So I'm looking forward to it, and being a member of Northern Oakland County, understanding and trying to get my community to understand that transit brings us all together. And it's not just about certain regions, but if we have a prosperous transit, regional transit, we can have a better and more productive community.
Thank you all. We have great attendance today. Oh, yes. Elaine is, huh? Okay. Elaine, please.
Hello, everybody. I am Helene Zach. I'm from Oakland County. I'm a social worker by training, and I care about taking care of communities, employees, and so forth. And I love communities that have good transit, you know, urban environments, and been working on this issue for years. So I'm very excited to be part of the board. Sorry I can't be with you physically, though. I'm out of town.
Thank you, Helene. And I'm Paul Hillegans, state-appointed chair. I've been honored to be appointed by both Rick Snyder and Gretchen Whitmer, and it's been a privilege to serve. One of our greatest challenges as a region is just working together. It's been an issue that is reflected in access and equity, as Erica, you pointed out, and also economic growth. The sad fact is, over the decades, we haven't grown in population that much. We've just spread out. And if we're going to change that pattern, I just think coordinated, improved regional transit, that's my passion. That's why we're all here. And I'm thankful that we have a board that has worked together, sharing that passion. It really has been a great experience for me. Thank you. We move on to the actual agenda, and first we need a motion to approve the agenda before us. Is there a motion? Moved by Erica, supported by Amma. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda is approved, and so we'll go first to item number 4, the approval of the July board meeting summary. Unless there are additions or corrections, I welcome a motion to approve. Jeanette moves.
Second.
And Amma seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting summary is approved. Now to public comment. Robert, do you have additional comment to contribute today? We sure appreciate your dedicated engagement.
Thank you, Paul. I really appreciate those wonderful words. For the record, Robert Plowski from Southgate, Wayne County Transit Advocate. So I just want to take a moment to welcome our new members to the team. Harmony Lloyd, Chief Operating Officer, welcome to the team. I look forward to working with you. Also, Corey
Wolford.
Okay, I got that right the first time. Welcome to the team. Community engagement is one of the biggest things I'm focusing on in Wayne County. So, you know, we look forward to your leadership here at the RTA and bringing some more transit downriver. And me and Khalil have met dozens of times. I just want to give you the official welcome that you're on the RTA team. So, but we enjoy your great work. The amount of effort you've put in to marketing and community outreach has been absolutely amazing over the time I've known you. And I just want to give you an official warm welcome right after Ben. But now, and I want to take another moment to talk about the AAAT millage. I've been heavily involved with that over the course of the process of public engagement. And I want to report on a happy notice that it has passed August 2nd under a 5-year or 4-year millage. I think it's 4-year, if I'm correct. But now we have the 2045 plan that will be expanded all throughout the county with this new millage allocated funding. So that means more connections into Wayne County, more park and ride connections, express routes all throughout the county. And with the amazing leadership under Matt Carpenter, we finally get to see a leader in transportation, and that is the Ride in Ann Arbor, second to the Rapid and Grand Rapids. But, you know, we have a lot of things in Wayne County, Oakland, and Macomb to work on. You know, our current connections, now with the Oakland County Board of Commissioners passing the countywide millage to basically expand transit service all across the county, you know, that's a huge step for our region. Now the question is, will we get Wayne and Macomb counties to follow in the footsteps? Wayne County especially. Wayne County is filled with people from many different backgrounds, including myself. And this is an opportunity of social justice, like Rob, Erica said. You know, we focus on social justice. We focus on the need of transportation. That's why the RTA was formed. And the amount we've put in over the past decade, you know, we've changed this region to where we can actually start working with all these different agencies and start to perform like we needed to. This isn't 2010 where everything has been separated. We're finally starting to see what's being the purpose of the RTA. So on behalf of myself, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done, and I look forward to the best going forward. And with our new team members on board, we have a bright future of the RTA, and we have a bright future of these four counties combined. And as always, I enjoy giving you guys public feedback, and I look forward to giving you more next month. But as always, thank you.
Thank you, Roger. We always appreciate your encouragement. Are there any other...
Megan would like to make a comment. She's online.
Megan.
Yes.
Welcome, Megan.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. I wish I could be there in person to meet all of these great new board members and staff. But for those who don't know me, Megan Owens, I'm the Director of Transportation, Riders United, also known as TRU. And we've been advocating for more and better transit for more than 20 years throughout the whole greater Detroit area. We believe everyone should be able to get where they need to go, regardless of whether they can drive. And we are focused right now very much on the Macomb and Oakland County, and just want to make sure everyone's aware of all of the great work that's going on. We've made over 40 different presentations to community groups, gone out to a dozen different fairs and festivals and farmers markets. We've already hosted 3 transit town halls and have 4 more coming up. In fact, on the 20th, we'll be in Warren at Macomb. 29th, up at Oakland University on October 3rd in Novi. So we would definitely love anyone who's able to help us promote those events, or anyone who has ideas as to how we can get the word out. We know that when we take the time to talk with residents about transit, when we share with them what is provided, what could be provided, who it is that really needs the service and how we all benefit, we all depend on the essential workers that depend on transit. When we can get that information out, voters are very supportive. So those are just a sample of the things that we're doing. I would love to be in touch with anyone who can help in that promotion, either of the purely educational components like the town halls, or more explicit vote yes outreach as we're doing as well. So I know that that the RTA is very supportive of the transit millages, and so certainly love to work with the folks from RTA as well. So just wanted to give that that brief update. And again, one other slight thing sort of to echo and to build off of what Robert said. Our transit providers around the region are doing a whole lot of exciting stuff, a whole lot of good planning. And I know it's not always the easiest to keep all of those plans coordinated, but I appreciate the efforts and urge RTA to continue to do everything you can to get the DDOT reimagined and then Ann Arbor's plan and then SMART's developing some new plans to keep everyone fully on the same page as much as you can. So thanks again for the time.
Thank you, Megan, and thank you for Drew's active advocacy on the Millage Renewal campaign. We appreciate all you do. Thank you. Are there more citizens interested in speaking?
I don't see any chat. I haven't got any requests.
No further requests. Then thank you for the public comments, and we'll move on to item six. Alma, do you want to introduce the financial reports?
Thank you, Paul. We have financial.
We had the financial reports for July and August of this year, and at our meeting next month, we will be reporting on the close of the fiscal year. But right now we have income and balance sheet statements for July and August, and I'm going to turn them over to Jenny to give us a rundown.
Thank you, Paula.
We do not have any unusual expenses. We do have for July slightly higher legal expenses. We had Mel's assistance on our triennial review, as well as reviewing employment offers for both Corey and Harmony. We also in July had our quarterly invoice from the Area Agency on Aging that you see there for $75,000. In August, we have additional staffing expenses, because that is when Corey started. And you will also see some computer expenses as we purchase new computers for the new staff. Khalil as well, and Shauna needed a new computer. There are also some travel expenses. Both Corey and Khalil attended the MPTA, the Michigan Public Transit Association's conference up in Bel Air in August, and so there are expenses related to that, both travel as well as registration fees for that. Are there any questions?
Yes, Jeanette has a question.
Wait to get a mic. It's okay. I don't know if it's ever been brought up, or maybe I noticed on the bank fees that we don't, do we budget for bank fees? Because I've seen like a larger increase, and don't worry, I do this on the other boards. So it's not just here.
That is actually not something that we have budgeted for. We haven't, because they can fluctuate. They've been pretty consistent because our activity has been pretty consistent.
We do have other contracts and other line items that can cover those fees. We just never call them out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We can call them out in the future in a budget to be more clear, of course.
It's probably included in miscellaneous expenses.
Yes.
Because they're aligned here, that's why.
Yes, they're included in the miscellaneous expenses on the budget.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you, Jeanette. Other questions? Then, Alan, you'll move approval?
I do move approval, Paul.
Thank you. Is there support?
Support.
It's support from John, okay. Any further comments or questions? If not, all those in favor say aye. Any opposed? The financial reports for July and August are approved. This leads us to the fiscal year 2023 budget, which we reviewed and have heard public comment on now. Any further comment?
No, I did the overview. It's similar to what we looked at in July. So I'm happy to take any questions. Are there any last questions on the 2023 budget? If not, welcome a motion. Dan, we'll give Dan the, and then you support Emma. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The 2023 budget is adopted. We now go to directors and officers liability insurance renewal. Ben, any?
But this is a standard annual renewal. This is obviously liability insurance for all of all the things that we do. The cost is generally in line with our administrative budget. I don't think it went up a lot. So cost isn't a huge increase. It's the standard item that we do every year.
Great. Well, first I welcome a motion.
I'll move. So
Ned moves. Is there support? Jeanette seconds. Now, comment?
My question is, if you could find out how much it's going up, more out of curiosity than anything, but there's a lot of inflation.
Sure.
It was 2% or 15%. It is what it is. We definitely need.
How much has it gone up?
Do you know insurance?
Oh, the insurance.
You can always.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm probably going to vote yes anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say
4/27.
Our track record is good, but.
Yeah.
Okay. I must. Jenny, did you have a?
It's 14 this year.
14. Okay. So it went up $2,000. And part of the reason is because our budget went up because we're hiring staff. The premium is it's a set amount per budget or per $1,000 of budget. So there's a combination of a slight increase in premium plus the increase in our budget. Sorry about that.
I guess that makes sense. Okay, the motion with support is before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The insurance renewal is approved. Next, we go to really what are task order updates for fiscal 2023, the WSP and HNTB contracts. I believe we're in the third year of our contract, so next year there will have to be an RFP, but this is the third year of those contracts with the updated task orders. Is Mel with us?
I don't think he made it. I know he had a 1 o'clock that was going to go till at least two. And so he, I don't think he's on with us.
Okay. I can report that our counsel, Mel Muscovitz, has once again reviewed these updates and has given us the green light. And he didn't see any issues. There aren't many changes to speak of. So he was comfortable. Ben, you last talked to him, but I believe that's the case.
Yeah. Just as Paul said, it's a standard reminder. So both these contracts have a 3-year contract with both WSP, which is what my services are under, and HTTP, which is the master plan. This is the third year. So really, this is a task order. But just to kind of keep everything transparent, we do bring it back to the board every year and just kind of make sure everybody's on the same page. And then next year, they'll have to be RFP strategy.
For reasons of transparency, I think it is a good thing that we vote to approve the task order updates and vote separately. So fiscal year 2023 WSP task order update. Is there a motion to approve? I see Freeman saying yes and Don supporting.
Any comments or questions? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And then the 2023 HMTP task order update, their work on the master plan. You move, and Erica moves, and Jeanette seconds. Any questions? Not. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Both of the updates are approved. Thank you. The fiscal year 2022 triennial audit, a report on the audit. I will say before you address this, I was somewhat relieved to hear from Harmony that every transit agency has to deal with this and has findings to deal with, so we're not alone. Harmony, you will bring new experience for us to the next triennial. Thank you.
Okay, so we've been reporting on this in the program manager's report the last several months, but yeah, broad context. The FTA comes in every 3 years. It was actually 4 years this time because of COVID. And does a review really of your kind of their rules and regulations. It's not a financial audit. It's not the same as having, you know, a financial audit or a single audit, which we do on an annual basis. This is really about, are you following all the rules? We had our review in late May. I received a draft report in July. We provided some very, very basic comments, on the report, mainly about process, just to make sure we know what, when they asked us for an update of a policy, when do we send it, who do we send it to, so nothing major to report. And then we had the final report, which is attached here, which we got on August 15th. So in this memorandum, I just walked through that. Essentially, the findings that are in the report really boil down to us updating about four key policies and procedures. The first is our Disadvantaged Business Program, or DB program. You have a draft of that program, the updated version of that program here today. This is not an action item, but that's probably our most complex program, so I just wanted to spend a minute going over that. That program also needs to be updated every 3 years. So this is, along with a few tweaks from the triennial, we would be updating this anyways. Similarly, Title VI, which is our civil rights program, we actually did not get any major findings beyond making sure that we're working with our subrecipients and making sure that we're filing their Title VI programs, but it's a three-year update similar to DBE, so we're updating that one. We'll be updating that next month. So next month, you'll see the final DBE and the final Title VI program for approval in October. We'll also be updating our procurement policies and procedures. So this is something we updated this last time, December of 2018. So it's a good time to update it. There were some findings and deficiencies, again, mainly in the procedural elements. Do we have proper documentation of our decision making? And to be frank, and I've shared this with the board before, there was like two people making decisions. So us writing a separate memo about why do we do that? Well, totally what you need to do. It's just not something we did very formally, just to be frank. Everything we've done, we brought to the board. Nothing major. We just have to go through the policy and make sure we're following all the rules. Similarly, grants, policy, and procedures manual. This is just when you get a federal grant, from the moment you decide you're going to do the grant, to how you manage the grant, to how you manage a subrecipient, to how you close the grant. These are just things we have to go through and update. And more, again, make sure we're following the rules we wrote and documenting those through procedures. So you'll be seeing those two elements, procurement and grants, should be in November. So that's kind of how I have it set up. By November 14th, we at least have to provide updates of all of these items. You'll see this next table. And this table is repeated in the report. I just did a kind of a easier to read version of it without their weird codes and other things, just because who knows what those actually mean. A couple of items here I just wanted to go through.
So I'll just kind of go through really quickly. So lacking description, so we're on page, sorry, we're on page 61, and there's a table, and it says description, action, and approach. So lacking missing required written financial management policies and procedures. What they're actually asking for is, do we have a procedure for what I would call kind of purchasing and requisitions, right? So when we're going out for buying a new computer or doing an RFP process where we sit and says, I reviewed it and approved it and it is allowable, and now I'm going to do a now we're going to do this type of procurement, and you know, before we just met and said, okay, based on everything we know, this is the right thing to do. We just have to make sure now we're documenting that procedure. So that'll be an updated grants manual item. ECHO is our grants payment system. So when we ask for reimbursement, we do what's called an ECHO drawdown. This is a federal reimbursement system. So we actually do have procedures for this. We just have to update following them and do a little additional training. There was down the third item, there was a slight overpayment. So one payment we made, the fund should have been split 80% federal, 20% state, and we did 100%, typographical error. The next month, we adjusted it, so it's all balanced out, but we did not write an email to the FTA saying that we did this change. So a lot of these things are, did we write, we fixed it. Closeouts, these are just grants that are expired that we have to close out. We've already closed out three of these, and some of them we were actually waiting for FTA actions to be able to close, amendments and other things. So we've already moved forward with that. We were missing some very, we were missing like two things from our subrecipient report, and one of them was the amount of money that the subrecipient had received over time, which I had never seen before. So our subrecipient reports are now updated. I actually just got approval. FTA has reviewed them and approved them with the update. So that's actually clear. FSRS, this is a database you have to report your subrecipients who you're giving money to pass through. I can maybe put Harmony on the spot. Someone who's experienced, have you ever heard of FSRS before? This is the first time I ever heard of this. Yeah, so that is done. It was very easy to update. I just did not know something that existed. So documenting micro purchases. This is another interesting one. So we do have rules around conflicts of interest in our procurement procedures, but we do not have the disciplinary actions that we would take if someone violated that. So that'll be fun to write up. We both, I think the next two are some pictures. The next one is every time someone brings up, every time we do a federal contract, we have to check a database to make sure the contractor is not what they call debarred, which we do, but we did have to keep a screenshot of that search. So we will update our procedures and make sure we do that from now on. The other was a kind of a new piece, a new clause that has to be put in. Lobbying certification. So every time we put out a contract that uses federal funds, the contractor has to sign that they're not going to use any of this for lobbying. This is, we do have this form, but we forgot it. So we do have this form. I know it's shameful, very shameful. Change order procedures. So we are going to update. We do have some change order procedures, but they're kind of buried in a couple of different sections. So this will be a place where we have some new, more clear procedures when we want to extend a contract, change a contract, amend a contract. How do we do that? What role does the board play? We had some findings with our DBE reports. The finding essentially was the difference, and I'll talk about this a little bit more once we get into the DBE policy, the difference between what's called a race-neutral versus race-conscious contracting mechanism. Very briefly, this issue and getting confused by filters through everything. Essentially, you set your DBE goal. When you put out your RFPs, you have to say, you can do one of two things. You can say, contractor,
you must hit this target or go above, whatever, 7 or 8%. Or you can say, this is our target, please try and hit it. Race conscious is you must, race neutral is please try. We were using race conscious. I don't think we were really thinking about doing, how do we do the difference? We were just saying you must, you must, you must. We exceeded our goal. So at the end of the day, we exceeded our DBE goal. Did very well, actually. Also, when you're doing the reporting, apparently, you have to report out race conscious versus race neutral. I was not aware of that. So we're cleaning those reports up. Good faith efforts and a few other items. We had good procedures for these things. So we're just updating those. That's about it. The report again is attached. I just kind of made it a little bit easier to go through with that table. Before I talk a little bit, I want to talk about the DBE goal. But before I do that, is there any questions about the triennial? This will be a recurring item, and we'll modify this so you guys still see a checklist of like, okay, this one's done, closed, and see our progress.
Yeah. Questions, Erica.
Yeah. Just two quick questions. So one is around the DBE, so I'm glad you're going to address that.
Yes.
Just quickly, so one, thank you for like really making sure that the table was detailed and you identified what the issues were that made it clear to us. So appreciate the clarification. Quick question. I know that this, the audit has always been an area where there's some outline issues, and I know in the earlier years when we discussed it, we said, hey, as you bring on more staff, some of these things will be addressed moving forward. So do you anticipate now that we've really got some key talent on board that these issues will kind of be addressed and this list gets shorter?
Yes. So two things. One, staff, and obviously Harmony's experience doing triennials and developing these procedures and processes, I think it's going to be huge. The other piece is bringing on Raymond, which is the financial operations firm that we brought on through an RFP in May. Took a long time to finalize the contract, still a separate conversation. It's done, finally, we're just getting it signed. Once they're on, they'll be able to help us move through the financial management much more quickly and make sure that we're getting our drawdowns to the federal and state grantors much more quickly as opposed to doing that in 16. So, yes.
Great. And then the second thing, just to ponder as you talk about the DBE, and I looked at, you know, the report out on that, and we exceeded the goal this year, which is great. We did lower the goal for the next 3 years. So my question, and this is more toward you and the board, is our perspective on you know, utilizing disadvantaged businesses. I know that there is a bar and a threshold, and there's a federal kind of mandate for what that looks like, but what is our position as a board, as an organization, understanding that part of what we're after is equity, and we talk about that out in our communities, but as we think about how that equity shows up in our processes, our policies as an organization, do we want to just meet the minimum, or is there something more intentional we could be doing to make sure that we're being a more inclusive organization? I'd be curious to hear the board's perspective on that as we get into that conversation.
Reflections on Erica's question or other questions?
No, like I said, I share her sentiment, and I'm sure there are others on the board do as well. And I await the bids report around the DBE subject matter to have some explanation as to why we recommend DBE.
Okay, so the DBE, there's kind of the DBE program, how do you manage it, and then there's the goal. So I'm going to focus on the goal because that's the number that you're trying to hit. So a couple things contextually to think about. One, this is only for federal contracts. So if we want to set an overall agency goal or have an agency policy, that is a, well, this is part of that. It can be a totally separate thing that we can discuss. But this has to kind of follow a bunch of federal rules. And that includes a mandated methodology for actually calculating the goal.
The goal is not a ceiling, it's a floor. So what you essentially do, and it's laid out here, is you do a scan of all the industries that you think you're going to be working with. You use their business codes called NICS codes. You find how many are available in your service area. We use the state, so we actually had a broader service area because we have these DBEs that aren't necessarily Detroit, but are DBEs in basic places. You look at how many firms are available in total, how many registered DBEs there are in the state, you get a percentage. You apply that percentage to what you think your program is going to look like. So one of the things that's a slight differentiation that brought us down just slightly is that we are looking to have probably more engineering services potentially available, and the percentage of DBEs in engineering compared to communications is smaller because there's thousands of engineering firms. So there are a lot of engineering firms, but they're just a smaller overall percentage. So it's just a math thing. It's not me making a recommendation. It's just math. So that's why the goal went down slightly, because we're shifting our work program just a little bit. And you can see all the calculations for that. One of the key things that they ask you to parse when you're looking at this is how much you're going to use race conscious, which is saying you must do this, versus what they call race neutral. Race neutral requires you to go out and do that engagement and do that footwork, if you will, groundwork, to meet with DBEs, meet with CompTO, meet with different organizations where people who operate at DBEs are at, and talk to them about your work program, and hopefully just generate that business coming to you without having to use targets and various conscious things. So we have a race neutral plan here in terms of what groups we're going to reach out to. They'll let them know about the RTD program and opportunities, what conferences we're going to attend, and other things like that. We do a media, we publish the goal in the media, get feedback. What we'll do over the next month, what we've done previously, is actually send this information out specifically to these groups and get some feedback from them on at least an acknowledgement that they get, hey, we know VRTA's got business coming up, we're here to go, we know what's out there. So that's one of the things we'll be doing over the next month. And then you just do that on an ongoing basis. You're just continually doing this kind of outreach. I will say that larger transit agencies that I've worked with and have a person whose job it is full time to do DBR. Now, these are people doing millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of work. They usually have a dedicated staff person who does DBE all day, every single day. We obviously don't have that. We also don't have a program that large. Hopefully that answered some of the questions, but if the board does want to talk about agency-wide goal or more information about other contracts, state-funded contracts, other things, that's kind of a separate item that would wrap around this, because we have to keep this has to be the federal guidelines. Did you do this exactly the way we laid it out in CFR 49 Part 26? And you can even say in this program, we actually use the references for the section numbers from the actual code. That's how much we want to make sure section 26.109 is in here. Is Triangle Auditor will say section 26.109 there? Yes, it's right where it says section 26.109. Hopefully that helps. That's it. Okay.
That helps, and I appreciate the detail, and I just want to reiterate, so there's a compliance piece, which you explained very well, but there's a value piece and what we believe to be true piece as an organization, which then is above and beyond that. And so those are the pieces that I would like for us to keep in mind. It sounds like you're on the same page.
Yes.
I think the rest of the board is on the same page as we do business.
And I think one of the things that we can, to help hold ourselves accountable, certainly doing all these pieces, all this outreach is part of it, but when we bring a procurement to the board and discuss, hey, we're gonna do this procurement in 2 months, our plan is to, this is in an area where there are a lot of DBEs. Our plan is to use the following means. And could you help us as well? Make sure we're getting the word out, maybe taking that extra month or a couple of weeks to be like, let's make sure we're doing all the appropriate things we need to do to let the DBE community know this is available.
and being transparent with you about them. These are the means we use, these are the proposals we received, you know, all these things. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job, but we can do, always do that.
Thank you, Erica Freeman and Ben. Is there any more feedback? Jimmy.
Hello. So, for Ben and Harmony, I suppose, as you work through developing the program, I understand how the DB program is applicable to federal funding. I also understand that, you know, the reality of today is we don't have large amounts of contracts, right? But to the extent that, or when we enter into a growth period, I think it's important to look at what kinds of programs the RTA can support relative to non-federal spend. And specifically taking into consideration our mission and Prop 2 limitations, right? Also proposal 2, I think, I can't remember the year. It has to do with the fact that for state-funded contracts, don't quote me on this, I will check with you now, but you generally can't take race or gender into consideration, right? And so understanding that's kind of different for Michigan versus some other states, I think that's one of the reasons why DBE generally only applies to federal contracts here. So understanding that we still have a policy perspective and direction of inclusion and equity, I think it's important to forward looking into the future with forward thinking, start working on programs now that we can use for leveraging non-federal funding. Yeah. Thank you.
Great, thank you, June. Any Ben, did you want to respond?
No, thanks for the comment. I totally agree, and that's one of the I commented to our reviewers during our review that this is one of the most fascinating pieces of public policy, because there's kind of the intent of achieving a civil rights goal, but then there's you can just see how it evolved over different administrations. Let me just put it that way. Where it went one way with one administration, and this is at the federal level, and then they're like, oh no, don't do too much now. So you can just see the evolution when you read the policy and how someone added this section and that. It's just interesting. We can at some point, at the board's pleasure, we do have other state funded contracts that do go to DBEs that just aren't reflected. So we can't always report out on that at a broader level. The other thing that I want to identify, and I haven't looked at, I don't know how much bandwidth we have to get involved, but one of the things that we find is sometimes smaller firms that have a DBE composition have not taken the time to go through the DBE certification process. So while they may be a DBE in terms of their makeup, they're not an official DBE. And that's one of the places where, you can, if you identify a firm and identify that gap for them and you help them get connected so that they can be registered, that's kind of one of the actions that we can help take as we try to build out that program. So that's something we'll keep our eye on.
Sure.
Sorry,
one more comment.
As a thought, to the extent that outreach, vendor database management, and all efforts are a major component of these programs, to the extent if you want to reach out to some of your component counties or the city or any other agency that have a program, I think that as one board member, I would welcome opportunity to have some sort of intergovernmental MOU or something to take advantage of their existing programs to leverage.
Thank you. What I'm hearing is, Ben, we've got a mathematically set floor. We've exceeded past floors, and the spirit of the board is that we continue to work on exceeding. So, yes. Anything more on the triennial report? I was saying to Harmony, good luck. I can only imagine what's coming with the audit of ARPA funds. Infrastructure dollars.
She said she just finished her triennial point of TA and that she was down.
So. Yeah.
Data.
Certification of the, but we also do, do we look at the composition?
We do not ask for that information. And I think to June's point, there are some of our partner jurisdictions that do. So that may be, that can again be something else that you know, we can look at it maybe through an MOU or figure out if there's another way to do it. And there are non-DBE firms that do have, particularly in the local offices, a fairly diverse workforce, but they're not. That is maybe an example, just a general, like, we have a very diverse Detroit office, but we're a 35,000 person firm that's global and all those things. So, but that, I know the city of Detroit, if you are a Detroit-based business, does look at your original constituents. And they'll actually come to the office. Yeah.
Okay, you know, just eyeballing construction work this season. DTE has a lot of contractors on the streets, and looking at the way the jobs split, minority workers are not getting high skill level jobs, and I think that is critically important for us to look at as the makeup of the team.
Thank you. I think we move on then to your report as program manager.
Okay, so the program manager's report, we talked a little bit already about the EETA millage. I just included some more direct facts about what that's looking at. So that was, it is a 2.38 mil total. That runs for 5 years, 2024 to 2028. And it was a 1.68 mil increase. It was a fairly substantial increase. I won't go through the bullet points here, and I'll be frank, I just took them from their site. So just wanted to be clear. Congratulations to EETA. It was a 61% passage rate, which is good. I mean, it is one question on. So meeting with Matt and his staff next week, particularly to talk about Washtenaw Avenue BRT, but also just other places where we can kind of work together. Let's do staff. So we have we've already introduced many times, but I wanted to maybe give Harmony and Corey an opportunity to just like introduce themselves and talk a little bit about their background. So would you guys have a spot?
Thank you. So happy to be here, and I'm so excited to become part of this team. Just a little bit about my background. I came from the Mass Transportation Authority in Flint. I was the chief operating officer there, and like Ben said, just finished our triennial, and I think that if you went back and asked staff, they would describe me as liking things exactly right, so we're going to work really hard. You can't wait till that third year, because if you wait till then the work has already been done and you've missed that opportunity. So we will tighten things up, and hopefully next time will be even a little bit better. My background, just real quickly, I did grow up in this area. I've lived in Macomb County, Wayne County, and Oakland County. So I grew up in East Point, graduated from East Detroit. I went to college at U of D and lived on campus. And then I lived in Grosse Pointe Park for a while, and now I live in Birmingham. So I'm very familiar with the community, the dynamics, and how all the counties kind of interact with each other. I was in Flint for 17 years. So I went through the recession, the water crisis, and COVID during the time I was there. So I am very used to dealing with huge challenges, and also understanding when things like that happen, how critical services like transit become, and not just the big buses for the essential workers, but what we really saw during COVID was there were still people that had to get to dialysis, they had to get to chemo. These weren't things that they could do from home. And so as transit, we had a responsibility to respond to that. And so I hope that some of those experiences that I went through, I can bring to this agency. And in thinking about that and thinking about the ongoing talks about the areas where there isn't transit right now, or there at least isn't big buses, you know, I think that in the transit community right now, there's a lot of innovation. There's ideas with microtransit, flex routes, on-demand services, commuter express routes. We've tried a lot of those in Genesee County and had really good luck with them, really a lot of success. And so I hope to also bring some of those ideas so that we can help people that live in Northern Oakland County and Northern Macomb County and Canton and Livonia and some of the areas where we've struggled realize how relevant transit can be to them, even if they right now don't think of themselves as a transit user. So those are some of my goals. I am only in my second week, but I have really enjoyed the team. I think it's going to be great to work with them. Everyone's been fantastic, and I think Ben and I have skills that really complement each other, and so I'm looking forward to what we can do together.
Where you want to come up?
Sure.
All right. Here, you just take this.
Okay.
Hello. Okay. Can't hear me. We'll make sure. Yes, once again, my name is Corey Wolford. I am now serving as the Community Relations Manager, and I come to the RTA from the world of government. I have been very involved in government on both the state, city of Detroit specific level, and the federal level. And just now really looking forward to coming to the RTA, stressing the word regional. The Regional Transit Authority, building our name, building our brand, building our image, letting people know it's okay to cross county lines. You will be okay if you transfer from Macomb over to Oakland over the Wayne over to Washtenaw. Just really excited to be a part of the team, looking forward to building relationships. As I stated, I live in the city of Detroit, and I kind of cut my teeth with Detroit city government. So getting into areas that I'm not as familiar with, that's a growth opportunity for me. So looking forward to exploring in Macomb and exploring in Washtenaw counties. There's just so much potential for the RTA, and we've all heard the stories of when people go out of town and they experience transportation. They say, you know, and then they come back home and they say, we can have this, we can do this. You know, I was in X major city or Y major city, and I took a bus from here to there, and I never had to jump in an Uber, and I never had to jump in a cab. Well, that same thing can happen here, and I definitely believe that it can. So with working with the board, working also with our community, because we can put all the plans together and we can, you know, have these awesome masterminds, but if our community doesn't embrace it, then we've just done a lot of sweat equity. So working with the community advisory councils, getting feedback and buy-in from those that are advocates of transit and those that are still kind of on the line about transit, that's a challenge, and it's one that I'm up to and looking forward just to getting involved in the entire ecosystem that we see of transit, mobility, ridership. There's all of those different areas that's in place with RTA. So once again, thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to continuing dialogue and conversations with everyone.
Thank you.
Corey, you, before the meeting, you gave some examples of how you're doing outreach already. I think it's great. You might want to mention.
Yes, just starting very much making sure that we are where we need to be within the region. So making sure our chamber memberships are up to date, making sure that, you know, we're attending major events. We are already going on to college campuses talking about the D2A2 opportunities. We are looking to get into Washington County. We will be doing an event with Ann Arbor Spark next month. So already just kind of getting involved and getting into the community, getting our name back out there. So people say, you know, hey, don't forget about us. We can go away. We're still here.
Thank you. Thank you both. It's so great to have you aboard. I'll say it again, but it's also a tribute to RTA, our board, and Ben and team that we've attracted such amazing talent. Thank you.
I'll finish up real quick. So RTA office space, we talked about this a little bit. We are still at the SEMCOG offices. We have been using those offices pretty actively. They've been really good to us. We are having some conversations actually with People Mover and Robert Kramer, who's running that shop right now. He's looking to move. So there's some possibility that we might have our own space within their new space. We're still kind of working our way through that, figuring out what makes sense, because now we have staff. As I've told them, I'm used to just walking around with a backpack on and a laptop, so I have maybe different needs or visions of like what I need, and I have to make sure that, yeah, I just kind of go around, you know. Oh. American Rescue Plan, so we will be talking next month about the program for programming those dollars. That will be something to talk about, so I just wanted to put that back out there. A couple of items in new grants. We did participate with MDOT in securing a $25 million raise grant for the Michigan Avenue, they call it the Detroit Mobility Innovation Corridor, which is a dedicated transit lane project basically in Corktown. So the RTA provided benefit cost analysis for that grant. So again, just an example of where we're helping, you know, even so mildly secure additional funding for the region. DDOT was successful in securing some grants in this last cycle for new electric buses, and they're looking to expand their zero emission bus program quite aggressively over at DDOT. That's a big passion for Mikel. We are working with a huge coalition of people to try and put together a cogent response to a mobility wallet challenge that MDOT and MEDC put out on the street about a month ago. The idea here is that we develop a pilot project for an app or something like that that would allow people to pay for multiple types of services. So this is one of the things that we kind of talked about in terms of modernizing the fare system. You know, how do we have one place or one stop shop for people to be able to find information about services and also pay for those services? That last part is the most complicated part because it requires financial agreements and all kinds of other things. So we are working with a large coalition of all of our mobility providers. I put it in here, but to look at a potential pilot group that tiers off of the equity study that we completed earlier this spring. So we talked about that study looking at job access. So we're going to be looking to develop a pilot for these types of services for job seekers working with United Way and Detroit. So hopefully we can pull it together. It is not easy. It's a complicated coalition and a complicated grant. So we're working to pull it together. That's due October 24th. We are working on an update of the master plan. This is just going to be purely an administrative update where we just say check all of our goals and strategies working with the transit providers. DDOT is actually working on their DDOT Reimagined program, which is looking at their entire system again. We're helping them with that update. AAA TA finished their update. Smart's working on some things. So we just want to make sure, like, are we all on the same page? That's the point of this update. Also using the engagement that they're doing around their plans to help supplement ours. So trying not to kind of confuse things with multiple millages and plans and other things going on.
D2A2, ridership continues to increase. We're kind of bouncing around the 3,000 riders a month. It'd be very interesting to see what we see out of this month here in September with a few of them back in session. We did increase the service a little bit on, well, I should double the service on the weekends. We had 4 round trips, we went up to 8. And we saw a double the ridership. So we just did that 2 weeks ago. Yeah. That actually did increase our budget because we were coming in a little bit under what we projected anyway. So no budget increase, we were able to get a couple of trips up, which is great. We are going to be talking about doing some surveying and other information on the buses and in and around the communities and businesses that are around the bus stops to get a better sense, kind of quantitatively, qualitatively. Who's taking the buses? What are they taking them for? Who knows about them? What else can we do? We've been doing a lot of marketing, both through the D3A2 team and as the RTA, getting out, interviewing people on the buses, really trying to kind of get them. That is all I wanted to touch on. We talked about your annual, we talked about D2A2 evaluation, this update. I have one stray item just to, probably in November, we'll start talking about our 5310 call for projects again. We'll probably do that new call, and most likely it'll be January at this point. But this is the funding for seniors and people with disabilities. We have around $11 million that's going to be available this round. So we're working right now to get some reporting back from kind of the status of the last round of projects. So probably November, December, we'll be talking about that. That's it.
Thanks, Ben. Questions for Ben on his comments or his written report? Very complete. I hear no questions. Is there any new business to bring to the board? I hear none. If not, without objection, we're adjourned. Thank you for a good meeting.
This conference.